Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you all on this Tuesday, May 19th, 2020. I really hope you all are having a fantastic start to your week. I know I am, just trying to stay productive and in a groove, right? Stick to that routine as we all try and get through this together. You know, yesterday was such a fun show, wasn't it? As we recap the final two episodes of the Last Dance docuseries, it was just great, you know, looking back, and I'm already having withdrawals from this upcoming weekend when I know that Sunday at 9 p.m. there will not be two more episodes to continue that docuseries. Many people are now debating whether or not that series is the greatest sports documentary of all time. And I think OJ Made in America certainly is up there, but I think OJ Made in America wasn't solely a sports documentary. You know, that encompassed so many different layers, as we all know, that I think you can put that maybe in a different category, in a different league. When it came to the Chicago Bulls, The Last Dance MJ documentary, boy, that focused a lot on sports, but also had the balance of those human interest stories, which were really cool to see. And I think it may be the greatest sports documentary series ever. I don't know. You can debate me on that, though. And again, I'm a little biased because you guys know that my Jordan fandom is pretty real. But you know what I found out? How cool is this? Tiger Woods, you know, I have three childhood heroes. Michael Jordan, Bruce Lee, Tiger Woods. Those are my three guys. And this weekend, we will see a documentary come out. Now, again, it won't be on the level of the 10-part The Last Dance docuseries. But the Tiger Slam documentary is going to capture nearly every aspect of arguably the greatest golfer ever. And the Tiger Slam is actually going to air on the Golf Channel this Sunday at 8 p.m. I'm really excited to see it because, again, you know, I'm getting a doc. I just got a doc of my favorite, you know, basketball player of all time, you know, who's one of my childhood heroes. And I'm getting a Tiger documentary this Sunday on the Tiger Slam, and I believe that's going to air because I believe this Sunday you do have that charity match with, you know, Tiger Woods, Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson, and Peyton Manning, which is just unbelievably cool, and I believe it's going to air right after that. But also the Bruce Lee documentary. You know, I'm getting a documentary on all of my childhood heroes this year in quarantine. And I just feel so blessed right now. All right. And you best believe I'm going to be talking about the Bruce Lee documentary and the Tiger Woods documentary. You know, once they do air, the day after they air on this show, we'll be discussing that. You better believe it. All right. So I'm feeling really, really blessed right now. So I want to give you guys an update on that. I can't seem to locate the Bruce Lee documentary. I believe it's going to be entitled Be Like Water. Boy, let me see here. Yeah, I'm not seeing a date right now. But when I do find a date, I'll be sure to announce that on the show. And probably you guys already know the date. I should know the date, right? I mean, I call myself the Bruce Lee fan. I mean, come on now. but that's my guy. That's my guy. All right. On today's current sports, we got a few things I want to touch on. And the biggest topic I want to touch on is how college sports are changing during this time. Not how college sports will change, but how they are changing right before our eyes in real time. And it's a bit unnerving for many college sports fans out there. And it's no more unnerving than if you are a college athlete during this time. A college athlete who has committed so much time, so much energy into trying to earn a scholarship, and then this happens and really throws an unexpected wrench in your future. And I want to address what we are hearing from the college sports world as it pertains to certain sports, as it pertains to budgets, as it pertains to cuts, depending on which sports you play. And what that will mean for some college athletes out there who are going to have to make some really tough decisions, who are already making some really tough decisions. So I'm going to dive into that. Some news broke this morning concerning Central Michigan University, which I'm going to get to in just a moment because it directly relates to this conversation. All right. And then on the back end of the show, you know, talking about that Michael Jordan, the Last Dance docuseries, LeBron James, for the first time, has now really opened up now after seeing all 10 episodes, because LeBron was relatively quiet throughout the docuseries. I don't know, maybe he was just taking it in and digesting these past 5 weeks. But, you know, now that the docuseries is in the books, you know, he did an interview in which he was very open and very candid about his thoughts concerning the greatest of all time and Michael Jeffrey Jordan. All right, so we'll get to that conversation as well. If you would like to be a part of the hour, pick up the phone and text us at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News and you can leave us a comment right there. You can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, as I mentioned, there is some breaking news coming out of Central Michigan University Athletics. It has been announced that men's indoor and outdoor track and field at Central Michigan has been eliminated as part of a university-wide cut due to the coronavirus pandemic. In a release today, the discontinuation of the program, which is effective immediately, impacts 36 student athletes. Two full-time assistant positions have also been eliminated. This is what CMU Athletic Director Michael Alford had to say. Quote, "We did not make this decision lightly, but we are facing a new financial reality due to enrollment challenges and now COVID-19. Hundreds of students have participated in this long-standing successful program at Central Michigan, and we know this will impact them and supporters of this program greatly," end quote. Scholarships for the athletes, including incoming freshmen, will be honored for their entire academic career at CMU. However, the athletes may transfer to another school immediately and without penalty. That makes sense, right? Because something like this happens, you, again, put in your heart and soul into this program. They offer you a scholarship. You go there with sports certainly at the forefront of your mind, and then this happens. So in just a moment, I'm going to expound upon that story and talk about how college sports are changing right before our eyes. For seven consecutive days every summer, high schools from across Michigan are required to shut down all athletic activities. Now, that period, known as the summer dead week, won't be so quiet this year due to the coronavirus pandemic, which has already forced cancellation of all spring sports, as well as the conclusion of state tournaments in five winter sports. Michigan High School Athletic Association spokesperson and dear friend of current sports, Jeff Kimmerly, said this year's mandatory dead week is now optional if schools are reopened in time for summer activities. So it is now optional. Again, a changing landscape in the high school sporting world as well. All right, I love this story, a feel-good story for you guys. A Henry Ford doctor who, quote, came as close to death as you can be, end quote, after contracting the coronavirus, then recovered, only to have his father pass away days later. Well, he was uplifted on Friday with a friendly face or two that has direct ties to his beloved Michigan State Spartans. How about this? Dr. Scott Katz, a big-time Michigan State fan, he was surprised by football coach Mel Tucker and basketball coach Tom Izzo in a video conference call. The call, which he believed was for an interview with MSU's news service, happened after MSU saw Dr. Katz wish his dad well while talking about his own recovery on CNN. His father, Dick Katz, died from COVID-19 at 82 years old earlier this month on May 5th. This is what Dr. Katz said, laughing as Mel Tucker and Tom Izzo appeared on video. Quote, "Are you kidding me? Oh my goodness! I'm doing really well now, boy. I wish Dad was here to see this. He would really get a kick out of this one," end quote. Dr. Katz's wife, son, and daughter were also surprised on the call. That is absolutely awesome. And this story, again, is just a small window into how many families are dealing with this pandemic and how many families have been directly affected due to deaths of this virus. So, salute to Dr. Katz and his entire family, and thoughts and condolences go out to his family. Again, him losing his father just days after he contracted the virus. I mean, stories like this are everywhere in our world right now, and we just got to just pray and stay strong as we are in the human race. So, yeah, that's a tough one, but that was really cool for Mel Tucker and Tom Izzo to do that. All right, Michigan football's top-ranked commit in the 2021 class will finish his high school career in Florida at the famed IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. He's a five-star QB. He made that announcement on Monday afternoon, citing the, quote, uncertainty of fall sports in Illinois. Now, McCarthy will transfer from LaGrange Park Nazareth Academy, where he developed into a highly touted QB prospect and helped lead his school to three consecutive state title appearances, winning in 2018. That's very impressive. McCarthy is ranked number 15th overall and the number 2 pro-style QB, according to the 247 Sports Composite Rankings. He committed to the Wolverines last May and has been an active recruiter ever since. So McCarthy, you know, I think we'll see a lot of big-time prospects doing this, you know, depending on which state you live in, because every state right now has varying stay-at-home orders that are loosening up a little bit. In Illinois, it's still really bad. So J.J. McCarthy, a five-star QB, he doesn't know what's going to happen this upcoming year in the world of high school sports, so he goes down to Florida where it's much more loose when it comes to at-home restrictions, and he can really play football all year round out in Florida. So J.J. McCarthy heading to IMG Academy, the famous IMG Academy. All right, some news for the Detroit Lions fans out there. The Detroit Lions have agreed to terms with defensive tackle John Pensini, a sixth-round draft pick from Utah. Pensini's agency, DEC Management, announced the signing on Twitter. He's the second of the Lions' nine draft picks to agree to terms with the team. Kentucky guard, as I mentioned yesterday, Logan Stenberg, a fourth-round pick, he agreed to terms on Sunday. Pensini called himself, quote, the most slept-on player in the draft. Shortly after being selected, he made 22 starts in three seasons at Utah and twice earned second-team All-Pac-12 honors. He started his college career at Snow Junior College in 2015, where he played one season before redshirting to preserve a year of eligibility for the Utes. So the Lions agreeing to terms with D-tackle John Pensini. And some more news for Detroit Lions fans out there. You know, I brought to you the story of Matthew Stafford selling his $6.5 million Bloomfield Township home, mega home. It blew my mind just how nice the home was. I didn't know homes exist like that in the state of Michigan. I thought that was just for like L.A., New York, Miami, those sexy cities, right? So why is Matthew Stafford selling it? That's what a lot of people have been speculating. You know, is he trying to set up for a career away from the Lions organization? Well, his wife, Kelly Stafford, has opened up about the selling of the home. Quote, no speculation is needed, Kelly Stafford said in a video posted on Instagram. We are about to have our fourth child, and I personally do not want to live on a lake or have a pool with four children under the age of a little over three. So that is the reason that it's on the market. So Kelly Stafford saying, hey, man, we got little ones. And being by a body of water and having a pool that size is just not safe for our little ones. So we want to sell. Makes total sense. The Staffords listed their 12,295 square foot house, including its finished lower level, on Thursday of last week, on the same day that Matty Staff talked to reporters for the first time this offseason. So, yeah, that explanation makes total sense. All right, Khabib Nurmagomedov was slated to fight Tony Ferguson at UFC 249 before the coronavirus pandemic hit. Well, that setback has paled in comparison to what Khabib has endured because of the coronavirus. His father has been hospitalized in critical condition, and he has other family members infected as well. The unbeaten lightweight champ gave an update in Russian via Instagram, and Abdulmanap Nurmagomedov recently underwent heart surgery stemming from a previous ailment and is trying to fight off the coronavirus. That is the father of Khabib. This is what Khabib said in comments translated by ESPN. Quote, in my personal case, I've had more than 20 people sick from my family. That's incredible. He goes on to say, quote, more than 20 people were lying in the ICUs, and many of them are no longer among us. Many acquaintances have died, many parents of my relatives. Everybody is having a hard time dealing with it. So I know there are some people looking at this thing and saying, all right, we're starting to flatten the curve. Other states out there are starting to open. Folks, the cases are still there and people are still getting infected. We can't approach this with the mindset of, yeah, we're out of the woods now. The weather's getting nice. Let's get outside. Let's start getting back to some kind of normalcy. And look, I understand that a lot of people who are listening to me have to make some personal decisions. A lot of people out there have businesses, are small business owners, and they rely on those businesses to pay the rent, to keep a roof over their heads, and to put food on the table. Everybody is being affected personally by this in one way or another. And a lot of people are going to have to make some personal decisions out there. I just ask you, when you hear a story like this and when you turn on the news on a daily basis, is getting back to normal worth possible death? That's what I ask. Is it worth possibly getting infected and playing, you know, rolling the dice with your life? I just really have to get that off my chest. All right? I just have to say that. Okay. Clarissa Shields has spoken. Flint's favorite daughter, world champion boxer Clarissa Shields, expects to be back in the ring sometime this summer after having her May 9th fight in Flint postponed by the coronavirus pandemic, but she said her next fight won't be held in her hometown of Flint if fans aren't allowed to be in attendance. Makes sense, right? This is what Shields told Mid Michigan Now. Quote, my next fight is supposed to be at the beginning of August. Right now, I've been told it may be without fans, so if I fight without fans, no, it will not be here in Flint because that defeats the purpose of fighting at home. Yeah, I mean, if you go home to put a show on for your hometown and there's no fans allowed, I totally understand if Clarissa Shields doesn't want to do that. It really does defeat the purpose. And again, it's about being safe at the end of the day. So Shields right now, she is 10-0, two knockouts on that unblemished professional record. She said her fight in Flint will be against Canada's Marie-Eve Decaire, who is also undefeated at 17-0, zero KOs, for the undisputed super welterweight championship. They were supposed to fight May 9th in Flint when the coronavirus forced its postponement. Now, she did not say who her August opponent will be. So I'll keep you updated on anything concerning Clarissa Shields and the location of that fight and, you know, what she expects to happen. All right, and last but not least here, the NFL engineers and sports equipment company Oakley are testing prototypes of modified face masks that might contain surgical or N95 material. The Players Association, the NFL Players Association's medical director, made that announcement on Monday. Speaking on Monday's The Adam Schefter Podcast, Thom Mayer said, quote, there will be probably a recommendation that the NFL use such masks to protect players from the coronavirus when the league returns to play. Mayer said he isn't sure exactly how the modifications would look, but he did acknowledge that it is realistic to think the new designs could cover a player's entire face mask and that the engineers are working on everything such a design might entail. Quote, they've got some prototypes. They are doing really good work, end quote. So we'll see what happens there. Again, as the pandemic continues to have a direct major effect on how sports will look and whether sports will continue at all in the near future. Some already have, but, you know, the NFL, the NBA, other sporting leagues, the MLB right now is having conversations. It looked as though they were going to resume really soon, but they've seemed to hit a snag as well. All right, folks, your thoughts, comments, concerns, if you would like to be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527 is the number you can text, not call, text. You can also Weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can comment there and, right there on our Facebook page. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, you'll get my thoughts on how college sports will change and are already changing due to the coronavirus pandemic. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your Tuesday afternoon. All right. As we know, we are in the midst of a pandemic right now, and the way sports are looking and will look in the near future is really up in the air. When it comes to the pros, they are having conversations about resuming. And it depends on the sport you're talking about. Right now, the National Football League hasn't modified any date scheduled. Everything is pretty normal in that regard. But, look, we're not going to see fans. If the NFL holds true to its schedule for this upcoming year and they still hold these games, you would be very hard pressed to find the NFL saying that yes, spectators can attend these games. It's going to be a different feel, a different look. The NBA right now, Adam Silver, it's been really intriguing to follow those discussions, because you have Adam Silver coming out 2 weeks ago and saying that, yeah, it's going to be really tough. We're in a really trying time. This is the biggest hurdle of our lifetime. And then the following week, you have the players coming out. You have some of the big-time players in the game, not just John Smith, but you've got players like LeBron James and Chris Paul and, just some of the biggest names in the game meeting and formulating a plan to pitch to Adam Silver as to how they would pull off. I believe Russell Westbrook was also a part of that. There's a lot of different players, a lot of big-time players, putting together a plan of how they will pull off resuming the season. And they apparently met with Adam Silver via video conference or phone conference, something like that. And it seemed like, okay, Adam Silver changed his tune a little bit. But still, since that moment, I believe since that moment happened last week. Since that moment, we haven't heard much after that. So we're in limbo period when it comes to the NBA as well. Still, Major League Baseball looks as though they were going to resume very soon, but the MLB is still trying to iron out the wrinkles. We just don't know. It's just a big plan. It's a big, big plan here. And, the health and safety protocol is what is being discussed there. I think it was like a 67-page health and safety protocol outlining some kind of attempt to return to the diamond. And some of those details, like, players won't be able to take Ubers and can't stand shoulder to shoulder for the national anthem. Discouraged from taking post-game showers. All of this is in the 67-page health and safety protocol. So, and some players are like, what? And some players don't agree with it, and it's causing a snag. So, the players will get their say soon on that. But, I say that to say that, the MLB is trying to figure out things. The NBA, the NFL is going to look a little different. What will happen and what is happening with college sports? Us here in East Lansing, that's my main beat. covering Michigan State sports. Mel Tucker and all of the drama that has surrounded Michigan State University sports these past few years, not just these past few months. And you know, you talk about that, you think about that, and then you look at what's happening with the MSU football team and the hire of Mel Tucker and how that whole thing came about. You know, I'm still getting used to the fact that Mark D'Antonio is no longer in charge of this team, but Mel Tucker is doing what he can from his crib. But it's such a different time, isn't it? But college sports are changing right before our eyes. And without students coming to campus, and enrollment right now is going down across the nation because students are looking at this and saying, you know, why would I enroll in school right now when I don't even know if I will be able to take classes on campus? One, that really takes away from the collegiate experience. Two, a lot of students don't like learning virtually. Just not their thing. And three, you weigh those two aspects in with the cost of attending a university. So enrollment right now is taking a hit, and that causes a huge strain on the budget of many big time universities out there. I just brought to you the story in our headliners. If you're just now tuning in and don't know, Central Michigan University eliminated men's indoor and outdoor track and field as a part of the university-wide cuts due to the pandemic. This will impact 36 student athletes. Scholarships for the athletes, including incoming freshmen, will be honored for their entire academic career. However, the athletes may transfer to another school immediately without penalty. That's just fair. CMU Athletic Director Michael Alford, I read a quote in our headliners. He further went on to say, "My heart goes out to these student athletes. I know this is incredibly difficult for them. We hope they continue their academic journeys at Central Michigan, but also wish them the best if they are able to continue athletic pursuits elsewhere." Furthermore, you want a small window into how the pandemic is really affecting collegiate sports? Again, just look at Central Michigan. To go along with that news, earlier this month, Alford, along with football coach Jim McElwain, men's basketball coach Keno Davis, and women's basketball coach Heather Osterley, all of them each took pay cuts amid the pandemic. So this decision now leaves Central Michigan with 16 athletic teams, which are men's and women's basketball, football, women's soccer, women's golf, baseball, softball, men's and women's cross country, field hockey, women's track and field, gymnastics, women's lacrosse, softball, and volleyball. And who knows if there will be more cuts in the coming months. Furman, less than 24 hours ago, Furman has cut two sports, including baseball, amid the coronavirus budget hits. Furman made that announcement on Monday. And baseball and men's lacrosse are getting cut. Furman is also cutting the salaries of the president and senior administrators and implementing furloughs and budget reductions. What's interesting here, though, is the university right now, as of May 19, 2020, is still planning to have classes in person this fall. I don't know if that's going to continue here. Again, they're probably saying that right now from a standpoint of hope. Now, Furman is a member of the Southern Conference, and Furman finished the virus-shortened 2020 baseball season with an 8-9 record. They won four regular season Southern Conference titles, two SoCon tournament titles during its history. Just a really difficult day for Furman. Furman players were quoted as saying, "This can't be real." Quote, "This can't be real." This is happening, man. Again, if you aren't a Power Five conference university, you're scrambling right now. You're looking at things and saying, all right, how can we make this happen? Money isn't rolling in like it was. And I know that this is going to break the hearts of many student athletes out there, but you are going to have to really make some tough decisions. Depending on where you compete athletically, you are going to have to make some really tough decisions. And with all this going on and all of the question marks across the board, I would not be surprised if, sadly, there are many student athletes out there who look at this and say, you know what, it's not even worth it anymore. I'm just going to stay at this university. If they decide to still honor my scholarship, even though they're cutting the sport, if they will honor my scholarship and allow me to finish my degree at the university, then I'll just do that. I'll hang up the cleats. I'll hang up the jersey. I would not be surprised if there are many student athletes who take that route. There are just so many challenges. And when you look at this, you know, the points that I've been making these last few weeks, because I've been getting this question every single week from our listeners out there. You know, Al, do you think we will see college sports this upcoming season? Do you think we'll see college football? What about men's college basketball? I don't think there's going to be a college football season this upcoming year. There are just too many hurdles out there. And the big point that I've been making in these last few weeks is the fact that, look, a lot of universities out there are not going to have in-person classes for students. So with that being said, how can you expect student athletes to come on campus to play sports? The big factor being the fact that they don't get paid. It's unpaid labor. You want them back on campus, even though, you know, there are no in-person classes, but you want them back on campus just so that you can keep this money train going and still have collegiate sports? Looks bad on so many different levels. You just can't. And then just think about it. Think about just really think about the travel situation as well. Right? I mean, college athletics have so much travel. And, you know, look, an obvious way to reduce costs would be to cut back on travel. Develop a more regional approach to scheduling. You know, especially for those conferences that are not, you know, Power Five, Conference USA, which now spans the three time zones, thanks to the football-driven realignment. But you would need a central location and you can't have college athletes traveling all across the nation. That's a hurdle, and you really have to plan it out. Tournaments, Now, the MAC, as I mentioned on yesterday's show, is eliminating conference tournaments for 8 sports, meaning conference champions in field hockey, men's and women's soccer, men's and women's tennis, women's lacrosse, softball, baseball will now be determined based on regular season records. You got to cut out the fat if there is going to be any chance of having collegiate sports in your lives soon. Cut out the fat. Travel, tournaments. And looking at some things by the numbers here, Cincinnati, again, cuts are happening at so many universities by the week. Cincinnati cut men's soccer last month. That saved the school roughly $725,000. Last year, Cincinnati spent over $875,000 to pay its football player support staff, which are like, you know, analysts and other non-coaches. So you put that in perspective. Again, you cut men's soccer. That will save you $725,000. Add $100,000 to that. That is what you spent on the football support staff. Kansas spent over $2 million to feed its 130-member football team last year. $2 million on food for the football team compared to just $175,000 to feed its men's and women's track teams. Clemson paid its football support staff $6.2 million last year. Quote, a figure that doesn't include the $8 million paid to 10 assistant coaches, but does count the 4 staffers who make up the Clemson Aviation Department, a director, a pilot, captain, and captain/hangar manager. And I'm getting all these numbers right now from Kendall Baker of Axios, who has done like extensive research on things you can cut, things that have been cut, things that maybe should be cut if you want to see college sports coming this upcoming year. I mean, look, man, these coaches get paid, you know, especially when you come to these big time universities, they get paid so much, so much. College coaches out there are going to have to bite the bullet on this. I know. You're used to that fancy fat check every single month. But if someone were to tell you, okay, if you cut that check down a little bit, it could help save the future of our collegiate sports, would you do it? I think many coaches out there would. I think most coaches out there would. You know, this isn't just a football and basketball thing either. You know, look, football is the only sport that generates profit at most schools, though, which explains why the thought is to slash the budgets of non-revenue sports or discontinue them rather than impede the football operation. Fair or not fair, look, it's this is a firsthand class right now into the real world. Football generates profit. Other sports don't. Sorry. Then you got to factor in tuition payments. Many non-revenue sports are actually in the black, which is interesting. This is because only 6 sports, football, men's and women's basketball, women's tennis, women's gymnastics, and women's volleyball are what they call headcount sports, meaning every athlete is guaranteed a full scholarship. The rest are equivalency sports, which means scholarships are limited and many athletes are paying full tuition like any normal student, making these sports far less of a financial burden than they might appear. So that's something that I learned when prepping for this conversation earlier today. But at the end of the day, I mean, again, the factor that is weighing heavy on my mind right now is across the board. You know, the big universities, I think, can tread water for a little bit. But other universities that are not Power 5, I'm wondering how those athletes are feeling about their athletic futures. because nothing is guaranteed right now. Just not. Your thoughts on this? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number that you can text. You can also go to facebook.com/WKAR News, leave us a comment there, and you can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'm going to give you my thoughts on what LeBron James has to say on the Last Dance docuseries. Of course, we've been debating LeBron James or Michael Jordan for that coveted GOAT crown in basketball history. And I think right now it's pretty clear, especially after the Last Dance docuseries has aired. You know, the final two episodes coming this past Sunday. All right, we'll dive into that to close out the show. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just have a few minutes left here, so I'll address this further on tomorrow's show. But Michael Jordan or LeBron James, that's been the big barbershop debate for a few years now. And, you know, for NBA fans out there, look, the debate will never end. And, you know, you guys know I'm a Michael Jordan fan, and I think watching the docuseries, that 10-part docuseries, really solidified and confirmed what I already knew. But it solidified and confirmed Michael Jordan's status as the greatest basketball player of all time. And the majority of fans out there agree. A new poll commissioned by ESPN actually found that 73% of NBA fans believe MJ is the superior player overall in comparison to LeBron James. And like MJ, I'll go through the specifics of this poll because they are rather interesting. If you haven't already seen it, I'll go through this tomorrow. MJ swept all 17 questions comparing him to James by metrics both on and off the court. I'll get to that. But LeBron James has come out and he spoke on Monday on the Uninterrupted YouTube channel. And, yo, he was really open about his adoration for Michael Jordan and Mike being the biggest reason why he played the game of basketball. He told a really cool story of when he first met Michael Jordan in his youth. I believe he was in high school, and there was like this camp going on, and he played an exhibition game in which he was actually on the same team as MJ, which is really cool stuff, right? Can you imagine that? But, you know, LeBron expounds on a few things. You know, he gives his takeaways on the docuseries. He praises Michael Jordan left and right. And he also comments on whether or not he could have been Michael Jordan's teammate. After seeing Michael motivate and push his players the way he did, would the personality of LeBron James mesh with that of Michael Jordan? And he gave a very intriguing answer, which I'll get to on tomorrow's show. All right, so if that's not a tease, I don't know what is. And I'm pretty sure, look, man, it's 2020. I'm pretty sure many of you who are listening right now are saying, Al, I can't wait, if you didn't already see this story. Al, I can't wait. I'm Googling this thing right now. Sorry, not sorry. But hopefully you still tune in to the Wednesday edition of the show. All right? So I'll see you on Wednesday, folks. It is May 19th, 2020. I'm telling you all to have a great rest of your Tuesday afternoon and evening. Be safe. Be smart. And of course, be easy, people.